الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الرسول بلغ ما أنزل إليك من ربك، وإن لم تفعل فما بلغت رسالته، والله يعصمك من الناس، إن الله لا يهدي القوم الكافرين. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنكم على بينة من ربكم ما لم تظهر فيكم سكرتان، سكرة الجهل وسكرة حب العيش، وأنتم تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتجاهدون في سبيل الله، فإذا ظهر فيكم حب الدنيا فلا تأمرون بالمعروف ولا تنهون عن المنكر ولا تجاهدون في سبيل الله، والقائلون يومئذ بالكتاب والسنة كسابقين الأولين من المهاجرين والأنصار، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected علماء الكرام, elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, each and everything that exists in this entire universe, whether it can be seen or not, whether it can be perceived or not, whether it is within the realms of human understanding or comprehension, or whether it is beyond that, everything that exists is the creation of one Allah. Allahu khaliqu kulli shay. Allah has created everything. Mufassirin explain, what is shay? Allah has created every shay. They say, Ma siwallah. Everything besides the Zat and the being of Allah is the creation of Allah. Everything. And this entire creation is such harm, its existing or not existing, its properties, its faculties, its abilities, everything to do with each and every creation is not left to that creation, but it is still in the qabza, still in the control, still in the qudrat of Allah. The entire creation, لا يملكون لأنفسهم ضرا ولا نفعا وَلَا يَمْلِكُونَ مَوْتًا وَلَا حَيَاةً وَلَا نُشُورًا. The entire creation of its own accord cannot benefit, cannot harm, cannot give life, cannot give death, cannot be resurrected. Each and everything, for it to exist, it needs Allah. For it to be created, it needs Allah. For it to carry out any task or function, it needs Allah. And for its existence to terminate also, it needs Allah. That is why they came and asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, هَلْ لَنَا مِنَ الْأَمْرِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. O Nabi of Allah, do we, this insan, have any decree? Does he have any say? Any laws that he may pass, is it going to affect anything in any way? any summit or conferences that he may have, is it going to affect the future of the masses in any way? هَلَّنَا مِنَ الْأَمْرِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ Do we have any decree? Can we do anything? Can we decide anything? The Qur'an, without exception, the reply is sent by Allah, قُلْ Tell them, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, إِنَّ الْأَمْرَ كُلَّهُ لِلَّهِ Every decree, every benefit, every harm, every advancement, every decline, كُلَّهُ لِلَّهِ Everything belongs to one Allah. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا وَمَا تَحْتَ الثَّرَى أَلَا إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ أَلَا إِنَّ لِلَّهِ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ Everything in the heavens, everything in the earth, everything between the heavens and the earth, everything beneath this earth, every cell in our bodies, every atom in this universe belongs to Allah. أَلَمْ تَرَى أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَسْجُدُ لَهُ مَنْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ Don't you see that everything, everything in the heaven and in this earth is in sujood in front of Allah. It has prostrated itself in front of one Allah. هُوَ الَّذِي سَخَّرَ الْبَحْرِ The seas belong to Allah. سَخَّرَ لَكُمُ الْأَنْهَارِ The rivers belong to Allah. وَالْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ دَحَاهَا The earth belongs to Allah. أَخْرَجَ مِنْهَا مَاءَهَا وَمَرْعَاهَا The rains and the waters belong to Allah. The crops and the grains belong to Allah. سَبَبَنَ الْمَاءَ صَبَّا The rainwater belongs to Allah. وَالسَّحَابِ الْمُسَخَّرِ The cloud that is held, the rain cloud that is held aloft between the heavens and the earth. It is said one rain cloud, they call it cumulonimbus, contains 300,000 tons of water, 300 million liters of water in one rain cloud. No pillar, no support holding it aloft. And Allah decides for that rain to come. If it had to come with force, it is destruction. If it had to come too less, it is destruction. But it comes in a set proportion, in a set manner, that water descends. Same water, no color, no texture, no smell. One water, the snake drinks it, it becomes poison. The scorpion drinks it, it becomes poison. The earthworm drinks it, it becomes silk. The cow drinks it becomes milk. The tree drinks it, one tree, one sand. No change in the color of the sand. No change in the texture of the sand. One water, no difference in the color or the texture of that water. But from above his arsh, Allah makes it such that the carrot is sweet, the karela is made bitter, the watermelon on the inside is red, the mango on the inside is yellow. One water, one sand, but who is deciding all this? One Allah. مَا كَانَ لَكُمْ أَن تُنْبِتُوا شَجَرَهَا Allah says, you don't have any say, you cannot cause those trees to grow. أَإِلَاهُمَّ Allah. Is there any other ilah besides your Allah? Is there anyone else besides your Allah who is controlling all this? إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهِ Tell them, verily your Rabb is Allah. Who is Allah? You want to know your Allah? You want to recognize your Allah? Who is your Allah? الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامِ Allah is that Zat, and Allah is that being that has created the heavens and the earth. In 6 days, such vast creations, this earth is so tiny and so small that just the sun that is above it is 12,000 times the size of the earth is the sun. And the sun is only one star. In this galaxy in which the sun is, it is said to travel from one point of this galaxy to the end of this galaxy. This one galaxy, if you travel at the speed of light, 186,282 miles per second, it will take you 2 million years to finish the one galaxy. And in that one galaxy is the sun, 12,000 times the size of the earth. Surface temperature of the sun, 12,000 degrees Fahrenheit. The core of the sun, 27 million degrees Fahrenheit is the temperature. Each second the sun is giving off energy equivalent to 1,000 atom bombs every second. Every second. And the sun is only one star. Like that, in this galaxy there are 200 million stars. And some of those stars are million times the size of the sun. And that is this galaxy, one galaxy. It is said that there are 500 million other galaxies. 500 million. So many. That it is said that from the universe, the light that reaches the earth is only 4 to 5% of the light of the universe. And in that 4 to 5% of light, what they are able to see and perceive, if one second was given to name each star, just to name the stars in 5% of the universe will take 300 trillion years to name the stars. Just to name them. If 1 second was given for each one. قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ قَبْلَ أَن تَنْفَدَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي وَلَوْ جِئْنَا بِمِثْلِهِ مَدَدًا وَلَوْ أَنَّ مَا فِي الْأَرْضِ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ أَقْلَامٍ والبحر يمده من بعده سبعة أبحر ما نفدت كلمات الله. Allah says, say unto them, let the waters of the oceans become ink. Let the waters of the oceans become ink. And let all the trees of this earth become pens. And then say to the makhluqat, say to the creations of Allah, say to the whole of insan, and the whole of jinnat, and the birds, and the animals, and the malaika of Allah, say to Jibra'il, Mika'il, Israfil, Israel, all of you start writing now. Use the trees as your pens. Use the waters of the ocean. Multiply another 7 oceans to that of ink. Use all this and start writing now. What must you write? Write the tarif of Allah. Write the praises of Allah. Write the glory of Allah. Write the majesty of Allah. Write the greatness of Allah. The entire mankind, entire jinnat, all the malaika of Allah, no time limit, write according to the extent of your knowledge, write about your Allah, write His greatness. All of you will start writing and writing and writing. The trees which have become pens will perish. The waters of the ocean which have been multiplied 7 times will perish. Insan will perish. Jinnat will perish. Jibra'il will perish. Mika'il will perish. Israfil will perish. Israel will perish. All this will come to an end. Ma nafidat kalimatullah. But Allah's greatness, Allah's azmat, Allah's jalal, Allah's kibriyai will never come to an end. If it will take 300 trillion years just to name the stars of this universe, 300 trillion years, how are you going just to name His creation, how are you going to actually praise the Zat of Allah? La uhsi thana'an alayk, anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. O Allah, we were not able to praise You. We were not able to praise You as You ought to be praised. You are as You have praised Yourself. وَهُوَ الَّذِي فِي السَّمَاءِ إِلَاهُ وَفِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَاهُ. He is the ilah of the heavens and He is the ilah of this earth. إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهُ إِنَّ رَبَّكُمُ اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ فِي سِتَّةِ أَيَّامٍ. Who is your Rabb? He is Allah who has created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Then He ascended upon His arsh. يُغْشِ اللَّيْلَ النَّهَارِ. Day and night belongs to Allah. He causes one to follow the other. وَالشَّمْسِ وَالْقَمَرِ وَالنُّجُومِ. The sun, a vast creation which you cannot comprehend. The moon, the stars, مُسَخَّرَاتٍ بِأَمْرِهِ. Allah says, look around you at these vast creations. Insan, you are puny. Your existence is temporary. You cannot compare yourself with these vast creations of Allah. Forget looking around at the other creations of Allah. Look within yourself. Look within yourself. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ ثُمَّ جَعَلْنَاهُ نُطْفَةً فِي قَرَارٍ مَكِينٍ ثم خلقنا النطفة علقة، فخلقنا العلقة مضغة، فخلقنا المضغة عظاما، فكسونا العظام لحما، ثم أنشأناه خلقا آخر، فتبارك الله أحسن الخالقين. What at one time was ma in dafiq, a spurt of liquid, ma in maheen, a drop of worthless fluid, sulalatim minteen, extract of clay. Allah says, we kept you as an extract of clay in a safe receptacle. Then from there you were made into a drop of sperm, from a drop of sperm into a clot of blood, from a clot of blood into a lump of flesh. That lump of flesh was given bones, stage upon stage of creation. What at one time was one cell. One cell. أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Have you been created out of nothing? Are we not your creators? Are we not your creators? At one time you were one cell. 9 months later, Allah brings forth Ashraful Makhlukat, the paragon of His creation, this human body, which is 100 trillion cells. 100 trillion cells 9 months later from one cell. The beta cell, one cell in the body, which forms part of the pancreas, which produces insulin. Scientists say 25 years we have studied this one cell. Millions and billions of dollars have been spent to study one cell, the beta cell. And they say still we haven't fully comprehended the function of this one cell. And there are 100 trillion cells in the body. What knowledge does insan possess? Look within yourself. Look within yourself and you will appreciate the greatness of your Allah. How insignificant you are in front of Allah. والشمس والقمر والنجوم. Look outside of you. The sun, the moon, the stars. مُسَخَّرَاتٍ بِأَمْرِهِ. Allah says, all this has been subjugated. All this is following a set pattern. والشمس تجري لمستقر لها ذلك تقدير العزيز العليم. Today the 3rd of March, the sun rose in the morning and maybe 6:35. 1,000 years ago on the 3rd of March the sun rose exactly at 6:35. And 1,000 years from now, if this earth still exists, the sun on the third of March will rise at 6:35. وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا. It is following its set pattern, its set road. ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ. A Zat who is Aziz and Alim, who knows everything and who is mighty, has set that pattern for it. مُسَخَّرَاتٍ بِأَمْرِهِ. The heavens and the earth and the sun and the moon and the stars and all these creations have subjugated themselves to the amr and the decree of one Allah. O insan, when you have realized this, that such vast creations are under Allah's control, now listen, أَلَا لَهُ الْخَلْقُ وَالْأَمْرُ. Listen, hearken, put up your ears, pay your attention. Takhliq belongs to Allah. Creation belongs to Allah. And decree belongs to Allah. You belong to Allah. Your day belongs to Allah. Your night belongs to Allah. أَمَا إِنِّي لَمْ أَخْلُقْكُمْ لِأَسْتَكْثِرَ بِكُمْ مِنْ قِلَّةِ وَلَا لِأَسْتَعِينَ بِكُمْ عَلَىٰ أَمْرٍ قَدْ عَجَزْتُ عَنْهُ وَلَا لِأَسْتَأْنِسَ بِكُمْ مِنْ وَحْشَةٍ إِنَّمَا خَلَقْتُكُمْ لِتَعْبُدُونِي طَوِيلًا وَتَذْكُرُونِي كَثِيرًا وَتُسَبِّحُونِي بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. Allah says, I did not create you because we numbered too few, we wanted to increase our numbers. I did not create you because we were lonely and we wanted company. I did not create you because there was some task that was too difficult for us to carry out by ourselves and we needed helpers. إِنَّمَا خَلَقْتُكُمْ لِتَعْبُدُونِي طَوِيلًا وَتَذْكُرُونِي كَثِيرًا وَتُسَبِّحُونِي بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا. I created you to serve me. I created you to become my slaves. I created you to subjugate yourself to my order, to raise my name, to hymn my praises, to glorify me. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah says, insan and jinnat were not created for anything else except to serve Allah, ayli ya'rifun, to make the ma'rifat and recognize Allah. To keep that sun going, Allah doesn't need shops, degrees, jobs and universities. You haven't heard any time that a pipe is blocked and we need service, or the oil has run out and we need to add the oil or change the oil. So for this puny, insignificant insan, where is your intelligence that you feel that Allah needs your shop, and Allah needs your job, and Allah needs your degree, and Allah needs your intelligence to sustain you? Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi used to say, if the sky became lead so that not a single drop of rainwater fell, and earth became copper so that not a single blade of grass should grow, and for one second I doubted that how is my Allah going to sustain me, how is my rizq going to reach me, then I become a mushrik. Shakir Mani rahmatullahi alayhi, proposal comes for his daughter from none other than the king of Kirman. The king of Kirman proposes for the daughter of Shah Kirmani rahmatullahi alayhi. 3 days pass, no reply he gives. He comes into the masjid one day and he sees a youngster, poor, clothing tattered and torn. Yuhsinu salatahu. But this youngster is performing salah with khushu and with khudu. Beautiful salah. After the salah, he goes up to the youngster. Alaka zawja? Are you married? The youngster says, no. He says, hal laka fi zawjatin taqra'u al-Qur'an wa tusalli wa tasum wa hiya jamilatun nadhifatun afifa? Would you be interested in taking a wife whose days are spent in fasting, whose nights are spent in tilawat of Quran and in standing in front of Allah, and who is beautiful, chaste and pure? He says, of course, but who is going to give somebody like me a wife like that? So he says, I am referring to my daughter, and I am prepared to make the nikah of my daughter with you right now. Why? Because his salah was good. Today when the proposal comes, what degree has the boy got? What type of social background does he come from? Which university is he studying in? What type of job has he got? How is he going to keep my daughter? Is he going to give her a car? Is he going to keep her in luxury? These are the only questions that enter the mind. Why? Because we have seen risk and sustenance in asbab and means. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, by the qasam of that being in whose hands lies the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that risk and that sustenance which Allah has decreed for you will chase you. It will chase you like your moth will chase you. Inna nafsa lan tamuta hatta tastakmila rizqaha. You cannot die. Until you have not fulfilled the risk which Allah has written for you. There's nothing to do with your degrees or your jobs or your future planning. وَفِي السَّمَاءِ رِزْقُكُمْ وَمَا تُوَعَدُونَ فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِنَّهُ لَحَقٌّ. Your risk is coming from the skies and the heavens. By the qasam of the Rabb of the heavens and the earth, it is not your intelligence. It is not your degrees. It is not this economy. It is not the value of the rands or dollars. It is Allah's decree. For 50,000 years, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ مَقَادِيرَ الْخَلَائِقِ قَبْلَ أَن يَخْلُقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بِخَمْسِينَ أَلْفَ سَنَةٍ. Allah has decreed and ordained what each person will get, when he will get, how he will get, to what extent he will get. 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth, Allah has already decreed. And whether you like it or you don't like it, whether you understand it or you don't understand it, it is not your system, it is not your planning, it is not your degree, it is not your intelligence. Give 2 hours, 12 hours or 24 hours. فَوَرَبِّ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. By the qasam of the Rabb of the heavens and the earth, you will not get one penny more than that which Allah has decreed. And that which Allah has decreed will chase you like your moth will chase you. That is why Nabiya Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا خَطَبَ إِلَيْكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ. The only criterion is deen and akhlaq. And if a proposal comes for your daughter from a source whose deen and akhlaq you are happy with,
Further we do, give your daughter to such a person. Because if you do not do so, تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ عَرِيضٌ. There will be fitna and fasad on this earth. Fitna and fasad will spread on this earth. Why? Because the criterion of a mu'min is not rands and dollars. The criterion of a mu'min is iman and Islam. He says, I am prepared to get my daughter married to you now, and he makes the nikah day and then. He sends his daughter to the home of her husband. فَلَمَّا دَخَلَتْ بَيْتَ الْغُلَامِ رَأَتْ رَغِيفًا يَابِسًا عَلَىٰ رَأْسِ جَرَّةً. She sees, when she enters his home, she sees a piece of dry bread, lying on a shelf and nothing else. مَا هَذَا, what is this? He says, رَغِيفٌ بَقِيَ مِنَ الْأَمْسِ فَتَرَكْتُهُ لِيُفْتِرَ عَلَيْهِ الْيَوْمِ. Piece of bread was left over from my yesterday's food. I thought that for iftar today from my roza I've got nothing. So I will keep this for tomorrow's roza and I will make iftar with it. The day he was taking rukhsati of his wife, he was fasting. فَلَمَّا سَمِعَ ذَلِكَ, when she hears this, وَلَّتْ رَاجِعَ, she turns around and starts walking out. When he sees her walking away, he says, قَدْ عَرَفْتُ أَنَّ بِنْتَ الشَّاهِ الْكِرْمَانِ لَا تَقْنَعْ لِفَقْرِ وَلَا تَرْضَى بِهِ لَهَا بَعْلًا. He says, your father wouldn't listen. I knew that the daughter of Shah Kirmani will never be content with my poverty and will never be happy with a poor man like me as a husband. When she hears this, she turns around and she says, أَنَّ بِنْتَ الشَّاهِ الْكِرْمَانِ لَيْسَ خُرُجُهَا مِنْ بَيْتِكَ لِفَقْرِكَ بَلْ لِضَعْفِ يَقِينِكَ. She says, the daughter of Shah Kirmani is not leaving you because of your poverty. She is leaving you because of the weakness of your yaqeen. And she says, I'm not surprised at you. I am more surprised at my father. Because he told me, زَوَجْتُكِ بِالشَّابِ الْعَفِيفِ. I am getting you married to a chaste and a pious youngster. كَيْفَ وَصَفَ بِالْعِفَّةِ مَنْ لَا يَعْتَمِدُ عَلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا بِالدِّخَارِ رَغِيفِ. How did he describe as pious and chaste one who, until he did not keep back a piece of dry bread, did not trust that his Allah would feed him. Either the piece of bread goes or I go. The youngster was no fool. فَتَصَدَّقَ الشَّابِ بِتِلْكَ الرَّغِيفِ. He straight away gave the piece of bread away. يَقِينُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. This was the bunyad and the basis of the effort of every Nabi of Allah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La raziqa illallah. La hafidha illallah. La nafi'a illallah. La mu'ina illallah. La mushira illallah. There is no sustainer besides Allah. There is no protector besides Allah. There is no benefit besides Allah. There is no advancement besides Allah. There is no sustenance besides Allah. This iman, every Nabi of Allah came with, from Adam alayhi salam, right up to the Janab Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the day, and the night, and the fikr, and the cry, and the pain, and the maqsad, and the object of every Nabi of Allah was to instill this conviction of the Zat of Allah in the hearts of his ummah. Such an effort was made that every ghair, every other allegiance, every other inclination, every other conviction had to be taken out of the heart, and the greatness and the azmat and the kibriyai of one Allah had to be established in that heart. Ilah. This word ilah, la ilah, what does ilah mean? At the time of need, at the time of your need, the first thing towards which your heart goes is your ilah. If the child is sick and the heart goes to the doctor is the ilah. If you are hungry and your heart goes to your friends or family, they have become your ilah. If you are in a financial problem and the heart goes to the bank manager has become your ilah. Our elders are saying, Allah forgive us, that from a point of view of conviction, 95% of the believing ummah has become murtad. On this point, that Allah ke ghair se nahi ho raha hai, that the ghair of Allah is not doing. Morning till night we are making an effort to establish the greatness of Allah's ghair in this heart. We bring our children up with the conviction that the ghair of Allah is doing. Get your degrees. Become successful. Get a job. have money, your need will be met and necessities will be fulfilled. This conviction goes against that da'wat which emanated from the Arsh of Allah. And that da'wat which 124,000 Anbiya alayhi salatu came with. That Allah has not kept success in means. Allah has not kept the fulfillment of your needs in things. The only relationship between the shop and the job and the degree and your sustenance is that of imtihan. Allah is testing you. Otherwise in alam-e arwah, for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, where was the shops? Where was the job? Where was the degrees? Where was the bosses? Where was the government that you were sustained? And in the 9 months, in the womb of your mother, Yabna Adam, man awsala ilayka al-ghidha, wa anta janinun fi batni ummik, who was fashioning you? Who saw to it that from a drop of blood the ears went to the right place, and the eyes were in the right place, and the brain was in the right place, and the heart was in the right place, and the fingers were in the right place, and the hands were in proportion to each another, and the feet were in proportion to each another, and who saw to it that you got the desired and required amount of sustenance at the given time when you needed it? Was there some scientist sitting inside her, deciding all this? Was there some artist that was fashioning you inside her? Who sustained you when you were but a fetus in the womb of your mother? Where was the systems of this world at that time? Where was the technologies of this world at that time? 9 months, she walked, she talked, she turned in different directions. She also didn't know what was going on. In Qabr, thousands and thousands of years, 6 feet in the ground, sand thrown upon you, who is going to sustain you? Which shop and job and degree? And in Jannat for millions and billions and trillions of years, for perpetuity. For perpetuity, وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ. For you therein is whatever you desire, Allah says, we will give you, and beyond that. Which shop, job and degree and university is there in Jannat? That in this 50 or 60 years of the life of this world, Allah needs that system to sustain you. To this extent that you break the honor of Allah. You break the honor of Allah because of your needs. The Muslim calls out, your success is in the masjid. The customer is standing in front of you with hands in his hand. Why are you not in the masjid? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you believe him to be your Nabi. We all brought iman on him. What he has said is haq. He said, come to the masjid. Through salah, Allah will fulfill your needs. Through salah, Allah will make your sustenance easy. We'll swear the government, swear the economy, swear the whole world. Look how difficult things are becoming. But how many of us are in the masjid? How many of us have adopted that system which Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have shown us to fulfill our needs? And when that is our position, what do we expect from the rest of mankind? وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ دَابَّةِ اللَّهِ تَحْمِلُ رِزْقَهَا اللَّهُ يَرْزُقُهَا وَإِيَّاكُمْ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ. Allah says, look around you. Look around you. Which animal do you see carrying its food for the next day? Animals, you say, don't have much intelligence. Which lion do you see carrying its food for tomorrow? Which fox or wolf or cheetah you see carrying its food for the next day? Allahu yarzuquha wa iyyakum. That Allah who sees to it the next day that that animal gets its food, the same Allah will sustain you also. You visited your oceanarium here in Cape Town. You got it written there between South Africa and Namibia. Just South Africa to Namibia, there's 1.7 million seals. Each seal eats 14 kilograms of fish a day on average. That is between South Africa and Namibia. Every day the seals alone, one makhluk of Allah, is eating 20 million kilograms of fish. Where is it coming from? How much you pay in the bazaar for 1 kilo? 20 million kilos every day Allah from His treasures is giving just the seals to Him. And still we haven't understood who is Allah. One person was engaged in Allah's ibadat. The king came to know of this youngster, the king of that time. The king gave that youngster da'wat, called him and he said, listen, you must do Allah's ibadat in my palace. Allah forgive us today, those of us in deen also have got our gaze on the people of dunya. Whereas we were supposed to take from Allah and give to His makhluk, our gaze is on the makhluk. He said, come and worship Allah in my palace, I will see to your needs. He says, O king, tomorrow, if you walk into your palace and you see me fooling around with your daughter, what are you going to do? A king gets absolutely furious. He says, you audacious youngster, where do you even get the guts to suggest such a thing? I will beat you to death. He says, O king, there is one Zat and one being who all my life sustained me despite me breaking thousands of his commands. And you, on the suggestion that I may do something to anger you, you are already ready to cut off my sustenance. You want me to leave him for you? You want me to leave him for you? We have left Allah. We have left Allah. We have turned our backs on Allah for his enemies. And then when we are being slaughtered and we are being kicked from pillar to post, that time we want to know why Allah's help is not coming. Why is Allah not with us? Bunyad, foundation of every Nabi, of the effort of every Nabi of Allah was Islah of Yaqeen. Was the correction of Yaqeen. Inna Allaha ma'ana, inna Allaha ma'ana, that Allah is with us. Allah is with us. Correct your relationship with Allah and you have nothing to fear. Ibn Abbas, 7-year-old youngster, he says, Kuntu ritfan Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I was sitting behind Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on a camel. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned around to me and he told me, Inni uallimuka kalimat. O Ibn Abbas, I am going to teach you. Small boy, he says, I am going to teach you something. Learn them. He said, ihfadillah yahfadka. Ihfadillah tajidhu tujahaka. Guard the right of Allah. Guard the right of Allah. Allah will protect you. Your protection is not in government. Your protection is not in numbers. That individual who needs 20 bodyguards to protect him, how is he going to protect you? That doctor who can't keep the flu and sicknesses away from himself, how is he going to cure you? Tumhare akal kahan hai bhai? Where is your intelligence? Where is your thinking? God, Allah's right. Yahfazka, Allah will protect you. Hifazat is in the hands of Allah. Success is in the hands of Allah. Advancement is in the hands of Allah. Wealth is in the hands of Allah. Prosperity is in the hands of Allah. Understand, my respected brothers, whether it appeals to us or it doesn't appeal to us, when sustenance is coming and wealth is coming on the disobedience of Allah, you are disobeying Allah and wealth is coming, that is not a ni'mat. That is not a bounty. Kaaba asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Nabi of Allah, tell us, a person is disobeying Allah and wealth is coming, what does it mean? He said, that is the rope which Allah is giving him. Allah will hang him with the same rope. Wealth on the disobedience of Allah is poverty and halakat and destruction. And poverty on the disobedience of Allah is poverty. And wealth on the obedience of Allah is wealth. And poverty in the obedience of Allah is wealth. There is no greater richness, no greater advancement than my life is on the orders of Allah. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ. Those who have said that my Rabb is Allah. And what does it mean to say my Rabb is Allah? ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Then they come onto the orders of Allah. This Qurbani, this time of the year, we speak of Ibrahim alayhi salam. What was the lesson of Ibrahim alayhi salam? That outwardly everything is going. Outwardly everything is going. The whole society is against me. But my Allah is with me. My Allah is with me. Every sabab, every mean, every logic was against him. But Allah was with him. Why? Because he was on the honor of Allah. Total, complete success. They built a fire. Such a fire. It didn't take them one or two days, it took them years to build that fire. To this extent that it is authentically reported that the women of that time, if they were sick, they would take nazar, vow, if I get cured, I will add wood to the fire of Ibrahim alayhi salam. If she wasn't getting children, she would take a vow that if I get children, I will add wood to the fire of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Years and years they took, they built this fire. Such a fire that if a bird had to fly over it, it would roast and fall dead into the fire. After such a fire is built, now how are we going to throw him into it, because we can't go near it? So they designed the catapults, what they call minjaniq. The first individual in history to design this, his name was Hazen. And he designed the catapult specifically for the task of throwing Ibrahim alayhi salam into the fire. The punishment which Allah Ta'ala gave him is that he was sucked into the earth, and he will continue to be sucked right up to Qiyamah in this earth. The catapult is made. Ibrahim alayhi salam is put onto this, and now he is about to be flung into the fire. Jibreel comes. Jibreel comes. O Khalil, O friend of Allah, what can I do to assist you? He says, has Allah sent you? Has Allah sent you? He says, I have come with permission from Allah. Amma ilayka fala. O Jibreel, I have no need for you. I have no need for you. Easy to say this, but this was Iman. The greatest angel of Allah, such a fire, a catapult was built to throw him into it, and he says, I have no need for you, my Allah knows of my position. فَرَفَى رَأْسَهُ إِلَى السَّمَاءِ. He raised his head towards the heavens. فَقَالَتِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَالْجِبَالِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ يَحْرُقُ فِيكَ. The heavens called out, the earth called out, the mountains called out. The Malaika called out to Allah that, O Ibrahim, your Khalil is about to burn for your sake. Your Khalil is about to burn for your sake. Allah said, Ana alamu bihi, I know of his condition. Wa in da'akum fa'aghithu. If he asks you for help, then help him. If he asks you for help, then help him. But Khalilullah raises his eyes towards the heaven. Allahumma anta al-wahidu fi samaa. وَأَنَا الْوَاحِدُ فِي الْأَرْضِ لَيْسَ فِي الْأَرْضِ عَبْدٌ يَعْبُدُكَ غَيْرِي حَسْبِيَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ حَسْبِيَ اللَّهِ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلِ. O Allah, you are the only one in the heavens, and I am the only one on this earth. Besides me, after this, there will be no one to worship you. O Allah, you are sufficient for me. I don't need the skies. I don't need the earth. I don't need the malaika. حَسْبِيَ اللَّهِ. Allah is sufficient for me, and Allah is the best of planets. That La ilah, every other ilah, every ghair had come out. I am on the obedience of Allah. My Allah is with me. Allah is sufficient for me. Then Allah calls out, Ya naru kuni bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. That, O fire, become cool. Become cool and become peace, not become too cold. Do not become too cold for my Khalil, for Ibrahim alayhi salam. So that when he's thrown in the fire, the onlookers are looking, vast flames around him, in the center a garden is formed. And Khalil is in the lap of luxury with a fire burning around him. To this extent that his father, mushrik, idol worshipper, looks at this and he says, Ni'mal Rabbu, Rabbu, Rabbu Ibrahim, the best Rabb, the best Khuda is the Khuda of Ibrahim. God, the right of Allah, Allah will be with you. Allah will protect you. Ihfad Allah, tajidhu tujahaka. God, the right of Allah, and Allah will be with you. And Allah is with us. And Allah is with us. We don't need anything. Muta sahaba 3,000. Enemies 300,000. Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, seeing the numbers of the enemy, gets affected. Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala anhu standing next to him. O Abu Huraira, O Abu Huraira, it appears as if the numbers of the enemy is affecting you. He says, O Sa'd, yes, the numbers of the enemy are affecting me. Why? Because Abu Huraira had just brought Iman at that time, just prior to the mission of Muta. So Sa'd radiallahu ta'ala tells him that, O Abu Huraira, if you were with us in Badr, if you were with us in Badr, the number of the enemies would not have affected you. Why? Because Inna Allaha ma'ana, Inna Allaha ma'ana, Inna Allaha ma'ana, Allah is with us. Allah is with us. Allah is with us. And Allah will only be with us when we are on the orders of Allah, when we are on Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This ummah does not need means. This ummah does not need asbab. This ummah does not need technologies or armies or weaponry or numbers. If every means are there, if everything is found, but Allah's order is not there, kamil ittiba of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is not there, Allah's qasam, with all the means, with all the atom bombs, with all the technology, Allah will disgrace us. And if the means are not sufficient, but Allah's order is there, the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is with us, then nothing and no force on this earth will be able to stand in front of this ummah. Ismat, protection of this ummah, Allah has promised. When this ummah will come unto kamil ittiba of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. 23 years of effort he made. Tomorrow the Hujjaj will go towards Arafat. Have we understood what the Hajj of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was? What did it entail? 23 years of qurbani, 23 years of hardship, 23 years of difficulty. وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ وَاجْتَبَاكُمْ وَمَا جَعَلَ عَلَيْكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ مِنْ حَرَجْ مِلَّةَ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. Allah says, strive in ibad of Allah. Strive in ibad of Allah with your wealth and your life. Allah chose you for this. Deen has not been made too difficult for you. Millata abikum Ibrahim. The striving with your wealth and your life in ibad of Allah. This is the millat of your father Ibrahim alayhi salam. Every Nabi of Allah strove with his wealth and life. Every Nabi of Allah made qurbani and sacrifice. Yet why does Allah say millat of your father Ibrahim alayhi salam? Why is this ummah compared to Ibrahim alayhi salam? Why not the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam? Ulama explain that this was one Nabi of Allah. This was one Nabi of Allah from whom qurbani was not just taken from the Nabi, it was taken from the Nabi and the wife of the Nabi and the child of the Nabi. So that this ummah must be made to understand that the millat of your father, in other words, the whole family of this ummah has to give qurbani. The whole family of this ummah has to sacrifice. And in Ibrahim alayhi salam's tariq, two types of hijrah took place. Two types of separation took place. And both these hijrah, both these separations of husband from wife formed the foundation of ummah. One was hijrat-e-muakkat and one was hijrat-e-muabbad. One was the temporary separation which took place between Ibrahim alayhi salam and Sarah alayhi salam. Temporarily he was separated. On that qurbani, Allah Ta'ala gave Sarah alayhi salam Ishaq. And from Ishaq, the Bani Israel and all the Anbiya of the Bani Israel. And the other was hijrat-e-mu'abbad. The other was the permanent hijrat. Years of separation. When the building is going to be very high, when the building is going to be very high, then the foundation also has to be deeper. The foundation also has to be stronger. This qurbani was to form the foundation of the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the qurbani had to be greater.
رَبَّنَا إِنِّي أَسْكَنْتُ مِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي بِوَادٍ غَيْرِ ذِي زَرْعٍ عِنْدَ بَيْتِكَ الْمُحَرَّمِ رَبَّنَا لِيُقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةِ فَجَعَلْ أَفْئِدَةً مِنَ النَّاسِ تَهْوِي إِلَيْهِمْ وَارْزُقُهُمْ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَشْكُرُونَ.
Order, Allah Ta'ala orders him, Hello Ibrahim, take your wife and your little baby, 86 years of age, 86 years of age, and Allah gives him a son. Years of crying and crying, Ya Allah, give me a child, give me a child, give me a child. After 86 years, Allah gives him a son. He's ordered to take that wife and that sucking child and go and leave them in Makkah. Not the Makkah of today, but the Makkah of 4,000 years ago. Wadin ghayri zi zara. No vegetation, no water, no life form at all. Quran, because of its eloquence, says Wadin ghayri zi zara. A valley without vegetation. But in modern day terms, you will describe it as the valley of death. Because nothing could survive. He's ordered that leave her in such a condition. He leaves her and as he is going away, what is the matter with you? How can you leave your wife and child defenseless like this? There is nothing for us. He's silent. Allah's order had come not to speak. She persists. Finally it dawns upon her, this is a Nabi of Allah. He will not make zulm. Allahu amaraka bihada. Allahu amaraka bihada. Has Allah ordered you with this? Has Allah ordered you with this? He indicates that yes, it is the order of Allah. Then immediately, إِذَنْ لَيُّذَيِّعَنَ اللَّهِ إِذَنْ لَيُّذَيِّعَنَ اللَّهِ. Allah doesn't need vegetation. Allah doesn't need crops. Allah doesn't need asbab and mean. If it is Allah's order, then Allah will protect us. Then Allah will protect us without mean. Imagine, not the Makkah of today, the Makkah of 4,000 years ago. The sun is bearing down. Have you ever tried to sleep on the ground when it is boiling hot? This woman alone carrying a child in her hand. Eventually the hands become tired. Where are you going to place that child? Place it on the boiling sand. When nightfall descends and you want to sleep, where are you going to sleep? There's no tent. There's no bedding, there's no bed, there's no furniture, there's no home. Desert in every direction. On that boiling sand she had to lie. Till eventually whatever little water she had got finished. No time to go into the whole incident. But through that qurbani, Allah Ta'ala gives zamzam. And then when the child, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ مَعَهُ السَّعْيَ. When the child becomes 6 or 7 years of age, then the next order of Allah comes, that now that child has to be sacrificed. The child has to be sacrificed. Every logic, every thinking, every understanding cannot conceive the benefit of this. 90 years of age and one only child, and Allah says, pass the knife over the neck of the child. That Allah who is Samad, that Allah who is independent, that Allah who doesn't need anything, orders you to give him the life of your child. Not because Allah needs the life of that child, but Allah wants to see your willingness to sacrifice it for Allah. Allah wants to see that you are ready to give. Allah will not take. Allah will not take because He doesn't need to take. But Allah wants to see your willingness to give. Sahaba were made to give the maximum qurbani, maximum sacrifice. أشد الناس بلاء الأنبياء ثم الأمثل فالأمثل. The greatest test and the greatest hardship and the greatest difficulty was taken from Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself. And then those closest to him, and then those closest to him. Not because Allah needed that qurbani. Not because Allah needed to see that hunger and that pain and that starvation. Allah doesn't need it. But Allah will make it a means of hidayat. And Allah will make it a means of raising their stages. He turns around in Salah one day, and he finds that half the Saf of Sahaba have fallen down unconscious as a result of hunger. He doesn't raise his hands and say, Ya Allah, my Sahaba are hungry, my Sahaba are suffering, oh Allah, send wealth to this world. Oh Allah, open the doors of wealth on my ummah. He doesn't make that dua. He loved them. He loved them. And he sees them suffering. But greater than the love he had for them was the love for hidayat. Was the cry for hidayat. That this hunger and this sacrifice and this difficulty and this hardship is going to water the garden of hidayat. Through the blood of my Sahaba and the sacrifice of my Sahaba and the hunger of my Sahaba and the difficulty of my Sahaba and the slaughtering of the members of my own family, Islam is going to spread. So he says to them, oh my Sahaba, this hunger you are experiencing today is going to lift the difficulty of hisab from you on the day of judgment. Your hisab will be made easy in front of Allah because of this hunger of today. Like that 23 years of hardship, 23 years of difficulty, stage upon stage, stage upon stage, he pushed them and pushed them and pushed them to further and further and further levels of qurbani. So many incidents, there's no time to go into the detail. Finally, after 23 years of difficulty and hardship, and inviting towards Allah, and sacrificing for Allah, till the level of the iman had come to a certain level, and the level of qurbani had reached certain level, a gathering gathers on the plains of Arafat and Mina, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stands in front of them, and he begins his address, and he begins it in such a heart-rending manner, Asa Allah talqani ba'da aami hada. Oh my Sahaba, perhaps after this year you will not see me again. What effect this must have had upon the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They loved him. They loved him more than their parents, more than their children, more than their own lives. The father of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala and Abu Quhafa is accepting Islam on the hands of Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to one side Abu Bakr is crying bitterly. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him that, oh Abu Bakr, why are you crying? Today is an occasion of rejoicing and joy. Your father is being saved from Jahannam. Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala who says, I cannot help but think, oh my beloved Nabi, how much of pain and hurt and grief it caused you when your uncle Abu Talib died without iman. If only today, instead of my father's hand being in your hand, reciting the shahadat, if it was the hand of Abu Talib in your hand, this would have pleased me so much. Why? Because that would have pleased you more. That gathering is told, after this year you will not see me again. And then he begins his address. And at the end of that address, Hal Ballaght.
For all your CD needs, contact Simtek Islamic CDs, 031-304-6165 or 082-500-9111. Simtek Islamic CDs. manufacturers and distributors of Islamic audio and media CDs.
من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلا وربك لا يؤمنون حتى يحكموك فيما شجر بينهم ثم لا يجدوا في أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما صدق الله العظيم
هل بلغت وانفكر One concern. Oh my Sahaba, have I made tabligh? Has the haq of this mission of tabligh been fulfilled? He didn't ask about salah. He didn't ask about zakat. He didn't ask about hajj. He didn't ask about fasting. No other tenet of deen was this question asked. But has the haq of it been fulfilled? Only one thing, one tenet. Ya ayyuha al-Rasul, O my Rasul. And when the Rasul is addressed, his ummah is addressed. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا For you in the Rasul of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the most perfect example. O my Rasul, بَلِّغْ, make tabligh. O my Rasul and his ummah, Make tabligh of this deen. If you do not do so, you have not fulfilled your risalat and your mission. Wallahu ya'simuka minan nas. And when you will make tabligh, when you will strive in my path, when you will sacrifice for my deen, mankind will turn against you, circumstances will turn against you, conditions will turn against you, but know and understand that your Allah will be with you. And Allah will protect you. Allah will protect you from the people. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Rahmatullah Ali used to say, Allah has promised ismat and protection of this ummah when it will fulfill the responsibility of tabligh. The converse meaning of this is that when this ummah will turn its back on its mission of tabligh and da'wat, Allah no longer guarantees its protection. Ismat will be lifted from this ummah. That you have left me and my Nabi, and you have left your mission, now we are leaving you also. يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ If Allah's help is with you, no one will overpower you. وَإِيَّ يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَلَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِي And if Allah's help is not with you, who is going to help you? Who is going to help you? ہم نے اللہ کو چھوڑا اس وجہ سے ہم نے اللہ کی راہ نہ کسی اور کی راہ We have left Allah. This is what our elders are saying, ہم اللہ کو چاہنے والا نہیں. We don't want Allah. We don't want the deen of Allah. I want my shop, I want my job, I want my wife, I want my desires, I want recognition, I want society. You say, La ilaha illallah. The shopkeeper says, La ilaha illallah. The taqaza of deen comes in front of him, he says, my shop, he is lying in his La ilaha illallah. He's lying. Because he wants his dunya, he doesn't want Allah. Who gets the news? At 2 o'clock in the morning that your shop is being looted and he turns over nicely and carries on sleeping. Who gets the news that your prophets are down and it doesn't affect him? Why? Because that is important to us. Our elders are saying that today the deen of Allah is being slaughtered. Irtidad, the greatest guna that can ever take place is a person becoming murtad. Irtidad is taking place openly. Jahannam has entered our bazaars, our homes, our societies. The janaza of the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is coming out of our homes. All this is in front of us. And still we are sitting And still we are saying my job is more important, and my shop is more important, and my agriculture is more important, and my farm is more important, and my business is more important. They say that by our actions we are saying to Allah that your deen can be destroyed and we don't care. It's someone else's worry, it's not our worry. We are turning the blanket over and turning the other direction and ignoring. For our dunya, no one rests at ease. Why, when deen is being destroyed? Understand, my respected brothers. 45 seconds, cities were razed to the ground. How this affected us? The destruction and the halakat, Allah protect us. But the destruction and the halakat which took place there is not equal to one Muslim intentionally missing one salah. Is not equal to the wabal and the destruction of one mu'min missing one salah. مَنْ تَرَكَ الصَّلَاةِ حَتَّى مَضَى وَقْتُهَا ثُمَّ قَضَى عَلَيْهَا عُذِّبَ فِي النَّارِ حَقْبًا وَالْحَقْبُ ثَمَانُونَ سَنَةً وَالسَّنَةُ ثَلَاثُ مِئَةِ وَسِتُّونَ يَوْمًا كُلُّ يَوْمٍ كَانَ مِقْدَارُهُ أَلْفَ سَنَةً. Mafhum of the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if a person misses one salah and then he makes qaza of it, if Allah doesn't forgive him, he will be placed into Jahannam for 28,800,000 years for one salah. For one salah. And that is a believer. What about those without iman? What is facing them? This is why our elders say, Aaj musalmano ke liye rone wale bahut hai. That today to cry for the plight of the Muslims, there are plenty. Lekin Islam ke liye rone wale koi nahi. But to cry for the plight of Islam, there is no one. And until this ummati does not learn to cry for Islam, his tears for the Muslims will be of no benefit. Conditions are dictated by deen, conditions are dictated by amal. Ismat and protection of this ummat, Allah has only guaranteed on tabligh, on nothing else. Hal ballagh, have I conveyed? What this question means? Have I done sufficient? Is there any other qurbani that I could have given? Is there any more blood that I should have spilt? Is there any other member of my family that I should have gotten slaughtered? Have I done enough for the hidayat of my ummah? Have I fulfilled that mission which Allah has placed upon my shoulders? That is what this question means, hal ballaght. Sahaba saw that 23 years of hardship. They say, kana da'im al-fikri wal-ahzan. Nabi Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was perpetually in fikr, perpetually in gham, perpetually in worry. Laysat lahu raha. He had no peace. Everything had been given. To this extent that in the Khilafat of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when territories upon territories and lands upon lands were being conquered and coming to Islam, few sahaba get together, that Umar, Amirul Mu'mineen, is living such a simple and hard life. His clothes are tattered and torn. The food he eats is such that we can't eat the same food. The days of difficulty are over now. Wealth is pouring into Medina. Let us tell Umar to increase his allowance from the Baytul Mal. Raise the standard of his life. Why? Because we see prosperity and advancement in the standard of our dunya. So let us tell Umar to increase the standard. But who is going to put forward such a suggestion? Because they don't know the reaction, and Umar was very jalali. He might become angry and punish them. So finally they get together and they decide that the Ummahatul Mu'mineen, Aisha radiallahu anha, the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Hafsa, the daughter of Umar, let us ask them to put forward this request. The two of them go to Umar And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala begins her address, lengthy riwayat, no time to go into all the details. She says, O Amirul Mu'mineen, Nabi Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never desired this world. And he never desired the things of this world. He went through tremendous hardship for the sake of Allah's deen until he went back to Allah. Then my father was made the Khalifa. And he also was not attracted by this world. And he went through great hardship and difficulties until he also went back to Allah. Now you have become the leader and Islam has spread. Desire for dunya is not in your heart. But the dunya has increased now and the wealth and luxury is pouring into Medina. Delegations from foreign countries are coming to meet our Amir, and your condition is such that there are 12 patches on your clothing. O Amirul Mu'mineen, why don't you raise the standard of your life? Why don't you let it be such that yughda alayka bi jafnatin min at-ta'am wa yurahu alayka bi jafnatin min at-ta'am? Let there be that every morning your dastarkhan should be laid out with food, and every evening your dastarkhan should be laid out with food and with rich food, so that you and the others can eat. And why don't you start wearing more, greater, better standard of clothing, so that when people look at you, they will be filled with awe and awe at you. Umar radiallahu ta'ala, when he hears this, فَبَكَى عُمَرُ عِنْدَ ذَلِكَ بُكَاءً شَدِيدًا, he bursts into tears. He cries bitterly. And he says, أَنْتُمَا زَوْجَتَا رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَأُمَّهَاتُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَلَكُمَا عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ حَقٌّ وَعَلَيَّ خَاسَّةٌ. That you are the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you are the ummahatul mu'mineen, you are the mothers of the believers. You enjoy a right over all the believers, and you enjoy a special right over me. I am in a position that I should be obeying you. وَلَكِنْ أَتَيْتُمَا تُرَغِّبَانِّي إِلَى الدُّنْيَا. But you have come to me to give me raghbat and invitation towards this dunya. وَأَنَا أَعْلَمُ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَبِسَ جُبَّةً مِنَ الصُّوفِ فَرُبَمَا حَكَّ جِلْدَهُ مِنْ خُشُونَتِهَا. Whereas I know that my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would wear coarse clothing made out of wool, clothing that was so coarse that it would scratch the skin from his body. You are his wife. Are you not aware that this was his position? They said, Oh Umar, we are well aware that this was the position of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he turns to Hafsa and he says, Oh my daughter, tell me, what was the most delicious and the highest standard of food that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever ate in your home? She says, one day there was a piece of dry bread and there was an empty tin which the tilchat and the remnants of ghee was there. I scraped that out of the tin, I warmed it and I poured it over this piece of dry bread so that the dry bread became soft. This Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ate with relish and he gave others to eat. And Oh my father, in the entire life that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spent in my home, this was the best meal that he ever had. Then he asked her that, Oh Hafsa and Oh Aisha, was not the bedding of my Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam such that it used to be a piece of sheet that in the daytime was opened up so that you could sit upon it, and at night you folded it over so that he could sleep upon it? And oh my daughter Hafsa, did you not tell me yourself that one night you turned it one more time over so that it became four layers, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not get up till the azan of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu was heard? And when he woke up, he asked you that, Oh Hafsa, what did you do to my bedding? You explained that you folded it one more time, and he turned to you and he said, Mali walid dunya, Mali shagaltumuni bilin il firash. That, Oh Hafsa, what is there for me in this dunya? Why have you caused this bedding to come between me and my Rabb Allah? Why have you caused this softness to become an obstacle between myself and standing in front of Allah? And then he turns to Aisha radiallahu anha and he says, Oh Ummul Mu'mineen, wasn't there a time in your home that the food was placed on a dastarkhan, that dastarkhan which was placed on a bench above the ground? And when my Nabi entered the home and he saw that the food had been placed above the ground, he addressed you and he said, remove that bench and place the food on the ground. I am a slave of my Rabb and I will eat like a slave. And then he turned to them and he said, "You are the mothers of the believers. Tell me, أَمَا تَعْلَمِينَ أَنَّ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ شَبِعَ مِنْ خُبْزِ بُرٍ عَشَرَةَ أَيَّامٍ أَوْ خَمْسَةَ أَيَّامٍ أَوْ ثَلَاثَةَ أَيَّامٍ أَوْ جَمَعَ بَيْنَ غَدَاءٍ وَعَشَاءٍ حَتَّى لَحِقَ بِاللَّهِ." That tell me, was there 10 consecutive days, or 5 consecutive days, or 3 consecutive days, or was there one day even? Was there one day even in the life of my Nabi that my Nabi had his stomach full to eat? Or that there was sufficient food in the home for him to eat 2 meals in one day? Both of them with tears in their eyes, they say, "Oh Umar, there wasn't one day like that in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Then he turns to them and he says, "Ama ta'lamina anna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ghafara lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbihi wa ma ta'akhkhar amsa ja'ian wa raqada sajidan wa lam yazal raki'an wa sajidan wa bakiyan wa mutadarri'an في آناء الليل والنهار حتى قبضه الله تعالى برضوانه ورحمته." He says that don't you both know that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was such that he was the beloved of Allah, he was the honored of Allah, all his past and future errors had already been forgiven, that should he ever commit an error, it is already forgiven. Yet his condition was such that every night he would be hungry, he would sleep, he would go into sajda at night, perpetually he was either in ruku, or either in sajda, or either crying, or either humbling himself in hours of the morning and in hours of the evening, until Allah Ta'ala, through His mercy and His kindness, took him away from this world. Was this not the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? لا أكل عمر طيبا ولا لبس لينا ولا أكل لحما إلا في الشهر مرة. Umar will not eat good food, and Umar will not sleep, will not wear soft clothing, and Umar will only eat meat once a month. إنما مثلي ومثل صاحبي كثلاثة سلكوا طريقا فمضى الأول وقد تزود زادا فبلغ. My similitude and the similitude of my two companions is the example of 3 people. One person went on a road, he set the pattern, a certain standard of simplicity, and he reached his goal. ثم اتبعه الآخر فَسَلَكَ طَرِيقَهُ فَأَمْضَى إِلَيْهِ. Then the next person went on that road and he kept to the same standard of simplicity and hardship, and he also reached his goal. ثُمَّ اتَّبَعَهُ الثَّالِثِ. Now the third person is on that road. فَإِنْ لَزِمَ طَرِيقَهُمَا. If he will follow their pattern, وَرَضِيَ بِزَادِهِمَا, and he will be content with that simplicity and with that hardship, لَحِقَ بِهِمَا وَكَانَ مَعَهُمَا, he will reach them and he will be with them. وَإِنْ سَلَكَ غَيْرَ طَرِيقِهِمَا, if he will choose any other road, any other system, any other standard, لَمْ يُجَامِعْهُمَا, he will not be able to reach them. That same Umar, when he is dead and now he is on his deathbed, he turns to his son Abdullah bin Umar, and he says, "Go to Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha and tell her that Amirul Mu'mineen Umar is sending salams to her, and request her that Umar wants to be buried in her hujra next to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr is buried, Umar wants to be buried there also." Abdullah bin Umar goes with this request to Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. When she receives this request, she bursts into tears and she says, "I have been reserving and keeping behind this place for myself. I wanted to lie in the neighborhood of my father and my husband Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But Umar's zaat and Umar's personality is such that one cannot help but accede to the request of Umar. Tell him that I have given permission." And Abdullah bin Umar goes back to his father and he says, takes the head of his father and places it on his lap. And he says, "Oh my father, permission has been given." He is filled with joy and with happiness. And he says, "Oh my son, perhaps out of shame and embarrassment and out of awe, because I am Amirul Mu'mineen, she gave permission. When I pass away, I want you to take my janazah first to the home of Aisha radiallahu anha. And then do not say Amirul Mu'mineen, say Umar requests permission. And if at that time she gives permission, then bury me in that home. And if that time she does not give me permission, then bury me in Masjid, in Jannatul Baqi, the graveyard of Medina." And then he says to his son that, "Take my head and place it on the ground. take my head and place it on the ground so that the dust and the sand of the earth mixes with my face. Because I am not a person who is in a position to face Allah. Take me and place me on the ground. When his son hesitates, he becomes upset and he says, place me on the ground. When he is placed on the ground, he says, Wailun laka ya Umar. Wailun laka ya Umar. Illam yo. He says, destruction awaits you, Umar. Destruction awaits you, Umar, if Allah does not forgive you. Like this, he passes away from the world. Then the janaza of Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu is carried to the home of Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha. And as she sees the janaza approaching, the Masjid al-Nabawi is filled with Sahaba crying. The homes of Medina are filled with the wives of Sahaba crying and the women of Medina crying. And as the janaza approaches, Aisha radiallahu anha puts her parda on, and with tears falling from her eyes, she also leaves the hujra in order to make parda from Umar. And Umar is buried and placed together with his two companions, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Why? Because he chose that road and he chose that direction and he chose to live in that hardship and in that simplicity. Sahaba had seen that difficulty. Sahaba had seen that hardship which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam underwent with the fikr and the cry and the pain of hidayat. So when he asked, Hal ballagd, O my Sahaba, have I conveyed? Have I done sufficient? Was there anything more that I could have done? In one voice, بَلَّغْتَ الرِّسَالَةِ وَأَدَّيْتَ الْأَمَانَةِ وَنَصَحْتَ الْأُمَّةِ وَكَشَفْتَ الْغُمَّةِ وَجَاهَدْتَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِ. O Nabi of Allah, you have conveyed, you have conveyed, you have conveyed. There was nothing more that you could have done. There was nothing more that you could have done. You have fulfilled the haq. You have fulfilled the haq of this mission of Dawat and Tabligh that had been placed upon your shoulders. When he received this reply, he raises his finger to the heavens and he says, Allahumma shahad, Allahumma shahad, Allahumma shahad, O Allah, you be a witness, O Allah, you be a witness that they have said that I have conveyed, I have done sufficient. No other tenet of deen this question was asked. So worried he was. He says, Ala wa inna rabbi da'iya wa inna usaili hal ballagh. Listen, my Rabb is going to call me Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And my Rabb is going to ask me, have you fulfilled the mission of tabligh? Did you convey? Qad ballaghtu, I have conveyed. Falyuballigh shahidukum ghaibakum. Now my ummat, O my ummat, this mission of tabligh, this pain and cry of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this day and night, this fikr and concern for which he finished himself, finished his family, finished his sahaba on the plains of Arafat and Mina in the hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when his whole ummat is in front of him. فَلْيُبَلِّغْ شَاهِدُكُمْ غَائِبَكُمْ. O my ummat, this responsibility of tabligh has now been placed upon your shoulders. 124,000 sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are gathered. Tariq, history bears witness. Makkah and Medina put together, you will not find the graves of more than 14,000 sahaba. More than 90% of that majma and that gathering that took deen directly from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died away from their homes. They died away from their homes. They understood the message of the hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That tabligh is your responsibility. Today this ummah has made plaques. This ummah has made posters. Farewell sermon of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Farewell sermon of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Stuck it on our lounge. Stuck it on our walls. Now and then we glance at it. 2 million gather on the plains of Arafat. 1400 years later, stand on that ground where Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam poured his heart out to his ummah after 23 years of qurbani and 23 years of sacrifice, and not for one second does the thought enter the heart or the mind, what wasiyat, what legacy, what message, what pain did Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed to his ummah on these plains? What was that message that imbibed within sahaba this jazba and this zeal, that they made their homes in the four corners of this earth? That that this cry and pain had been transmitted into their heart, that until 100% the orders of Allah in the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam does not come alive in the whole ummah, till that time we will not rest. Their wives were made widows, their children were made orphans. Millata abikum Ibrahim. It is the millat of your father Ibrahim alayhi salam, that Nabi of Allah, where the whole family was separated. Qurbani was taken from the whole family. Haqq jihadi. Allah says strive, not 40 days, not 4 months, to its haqq. To its haqq. And what is the haqq of tabligh? 100% deen has to come alive in 100% the ummah. Huwajtabakum. You were chosen for this. Like salah is an order of Allah, and like zakat is an order of Allah, and like fasting is an order of Allah, and like hajj is an order of Allah. Allah's qasam. Allah's qasam. Dawat and tabligh is an order of Allah. This is not the work of some jamaat or group. This is an order of Allah. This ummah's islah and tarbiyat was made for dawat and tabligh. Kalabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, instill sahaba, instill within them this jazba to lay their wealth and their lives down for the deen of Allah. Minimum tarteeb of sahaba of Medina was more than 4 months of every year out in the path of Allah. And from the remaining time, half day masjid, half day at home, half night masjid, half night at home. And today, the position of the ummah has become such that one, we are not doing it. One, we haven't identified with his mission. And greater than that, the greater tragedy, that the ihsas and the perception that I am making guna through the barakat of khatm-e nubuwwat, that zimedari and responsibility that was given to me, the message of the hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that was transmitted to this ummah, I have turned my back on it. That perception that I have committed a guna is not even there. This is what our elders are saying. Bhul gaye, forgot. Or ye bhi bhul gaye ke bhul gaye. And forgot that they forgot also. Nasiyam mansiya, out of the mind, out of the heart, out of the society. Muslim homes, Muslim towns, Muslim societies, Muslim bazaars, Muslim countries. And the hearts are empty of the fikr and the pain and the cry of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our elders are saying, we have made zulm on ourselves, we have made zulm on our families, we have made zulm on the whole mankind. What greater zulm can there be than this, that we have turned our backs on the mission of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Ijtima is not to see how big the gathering is. Ijtima is not to make ourselves happy that for 1-2 days we had a nice big gathering and the facilities were fine. Our elders are saying that ijtima is to bring alive this consciousness that until 100% the orders of Allah in the way of life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam are not alive, till that time I will not rest. That is ijtima. This ijtima is not for Cape Town. This ijtima is not for South Africa. This ijtima is concerning the fikr of the Jannat and Jahannam of the last person to come before Qiyamah. That how that person can be saved from Jahannam and go to Jannat. Leave the others, if the watchers themselves haven't yet raised their hand and said, Ya Allah, your deen is dying and I haven't finished myself. Ya Allah, thousands have made their goals this dunya. Thousands are finishing themselves for this dunya. Thousands are tiring themselves to earn the petty things of this world. Ya Allah, let me finish myself for your deen. Accept my wealth and my life for your deen. Tomorrow when Kshaba will come, one with his hand cut off, one with his ears cut off, one with his nose cut off, let me also bring something forward on that day. Like the night before the battle of Uhud, Abdullah bin Jahash says to Sa'd radiallahu anhu, I will make dua, you say Ameen, you make dua, I will say Ameen. And he makes dua, Allahumma rizukni rajulan shadeedan haraduhu shadeedan ba'suhu, yuqatiluni fa uqatiluhu feek. Wallah, tomorrow when the battle takes place, let me face a strong enemy. Let me fight him for your sake and let him fight me. He doesn't say give me victory and give me recognition and give me honor. Thumma ya'khuduni, then let him overpower me. Fayabkuru batni, let him cut open my stomach. فَيَجْدَوْ أَنْكِي وَأُذُنِي. Let him cut off my ears, cut off my nose. Why was your ears cut off? Why was your nose cut off? Why were you desecrated like this? On that day I will say, فِيكَ وَفِي رَسُولِكَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. For the sake of your deen and the deen of Muhammad صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. This is why this happened to me. If this majma of workers, of those who have been exposed, is still not even making dua also, not even asking Allah to be accepted, and in our heart is the jazba of dunya, then how is this ishtima going to become a zariya of hidayat? This is why our elders are saying, Toba karo bhai, Toba. It's still not even making dua also, not even asking Allah to be accepted, and in our heart is the jazba of dunya, then how is this ishtima going to become a zariya of hidayat? This is why our elders are saying, Toba karo bhai, Toba. Make Toba, cry. Re Allah, hum aapke chahne wala nahi. Re Allah, till now we haven't desired you, we have desired everything else. They say, cry. And make this first line decision that, Ya Allah, 100% my wealth, 100% my life, Ya Allah, let me finish myself until 100% your deen comes alive. Allah doesn't need numbers. Ijtima is this, that few. Few made the decision. Badr was only 313. Allah established deen in the whole world through Badr. Through that 313. Allah doesn't need numbers. Few of us have to make that fesla. 100% my time, 100% my wealth, so that Allah's deen come alive in this world. And see how Allah will use us, and see how Allah will accept us. So for this, my respected brothers, 4 months, starting step, let us stand up and give our names to go in the path of Allah. Come, my respected brothers. Also from the ijtima. Minimum 30 of Sahaba was 4 months. Minimum.